morning. Welcome to 10:30 at Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Boy, as we worship our God today, we're going to sing about the power of God. We're going to sing about the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we'll sing another song that is asking the Holy Spirit. And really, as you sing it, I hope you sing it as a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your life. And as He speaks to you, that you'll yield your life to Him and do whatever He wants to do to mold and shape your life. So I'm looking forward to what God is going to do with us there. And then today is the end of the school year. We're celebrating our Patch the Pirate Club, and these kids are going to sing for us today. We have all of our sailors. So I'm glad that they're with us. We're going to recognize the kids from Patch the Pirate Clubs on Wednesday nights. And they'll do that in the service today. We'll recognize all of our graduates as well today. So that's really looking forward to this time together. Let me ask you this. How many of you can think of a time when you knew you had a goodbye to say, but you were just, you knew it was coming, but you had to prepare yourself to say goodbye? How many of you know what I'm talking about like that? Well, we're going to talk about preparing to say goodbye. And as we open the scriptures to the book of Joshua today, then tonight, a number of things you want to know about. We have a missions business meeting, some matters our missions committee is recommending to our congregation about monthly support, and then a one-time gift as well. We'll have our teen choir sing a couple of songs tonight in this evening's service as well. I'm going to preach to our young people. You're welcome to hear me preach to them. I'm going to preach to them about living a God-controlled life. And then we're going to, for our teens and their families, celebrate the year of teens involved, fellowship together with them tonight. So looking forward to that for all that we'll have and we'll share together. And really, in all of it, we want God to meet with us. That's what makes a difference, when God meets with us. So let's remember our mission at Stanley Heights is to glorify God by developing and deploying disciples in this generation for the next. Would you stand as Pastor Alexander leads us in singing of our God's power?
We need that power this morning. We'll sing together on number 59. I sing the mighty power of God.
Seated. Well, if you are a guest for the first time at Stanley Heights, we are so glad that you are with us. And we have for you a Connection Point booklet. It'll tell you about us, and it's yours to keep. It'll be a guide for our time together. So if you'll do this, raise your hand, and when the ushers pass by, they'll give you your copy. You'll see that with that Connection Point booklet, there is a card, and if you'll complete that guest card with a street address or an email address and drop it in the offering box, which is to your right or behind you when you leave, then we'll send you a thank you note. We are grateful. Oh, you can also give it to one of our ushers as well. So thank you for being our guest here. We are learning this year, our theme is faith, and each month we are learning a scripture that teaches us about faith. And we are learning in May that we embraced our God's loving chastening by faith. How many of you found that sometimes you need corrected? You need corrected? Maybe you know somebody that needs corrected and they didn't raise their hand. You say, why didn't that person raise their hand? We're learning of an it's a wonderful portion of scripture. It's an extended portion of scripture this month. And so let's lift our voices and say Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 and 6 and then verse 11, lifting our voices together. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Excellent job on that. Let's go to our God in prayer together. Shall we bow? Now, God, we come to you with requesting for your help. It's good to remember that all of us need corrected. And sometimes in love, you bring correction in our lives. Really, every time you correct us, it's out of love. Give us faith to receive your correction. As we gather in this place, we have families in our church family who have known loss and sorrow. The Good family, this has been through that in these recent days. The Miller family has been through it in recent days. Others of our congregation have burdens before them. And really, when we gather, it's good to remember when we come that you're a God that cares. And there are individuals in our congregation here that are bearing burdens that maybe nobody else but you know about. And you're a God that is faithful and cares for each one. And so we pray, God, that you would meet with us. We ask, O Holy Spirit, that there would be such freedom that you have to work in our midst and to speak to individuals, that as we come, that our hearts would be submissive to you. And so we ask that you would do this. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wasn't that fantastic? All right. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jason Waller. It's been a privilege just to serve in Patch the Pirate Club over the past year and just get to work with your children. They have been so faithful, and they just have worked so hard, and we've just had just a great year. We're so proud of them. This was my third year serving as captain, and it's just been a great blessing to me and a fantastic opportunity. The Lord makes it easy when He surrounds you with just a tremendous group of people, and that's what He's done for me, great teachers and helpers, and we've had just a great year. At this time, I would like to recognize all of those that have served in Patch Club over the past year. So if you're a teacher, if you are an assistant, if you work with our music, you're a substitute, you've helped in Patch in any way, would you please stand? We would like to recognize you. All right, let's give these folks a round of applause. All right. Also, just want to thank my wife. I've got to mention that she does so much for Patch, and is such a helper to me. I could not do it without you. So thank you so much, Margie. And I would thank all the just the team for your faithfulness and your investment in these children. So thank you for that. Thank you for all you do. Let me tell you just a little bit about what we do in Patch Club. We meet every Wednesday evening, and then we do a few things as we start each night. We have a club salute that we say to the Lord, and then we have a club verse. And I'm going to have the kids say that verse for you. I'm going to have them go ahead and stand. Everybody stand, please. All right, and the verse is...
Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in the hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16.
Great job, guys. All right, so in addition to the salute and the verse, we also have a Patch Club song that we sing each night and a time of prayer. The kids have a time to learn music with Miss Jessica and Miss Rebecca, and they're able to sing the songs just like the one you heard a minute ago. Wasn't that great? We also have class time and with their teacher, and they're able to learn and talk about just a variety of topics from the Bible, sin, salvation, and we ultimately leading to that personal growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. We meet for a total of 9 months, and the kids get have an opportunity to get a patch book each quarter where they're responsible for daily devotions, scripture memory. They get to learn more music, and then Bible activities each week. Each month, if the sailor completes all their devotions, including saying any makeup memory verses for those that might miss a week, you can still have a chance. Then they will earn a Patch Club pin for their hat for each month. Now, every for the sailors that have faithfully completed all their devotions and have been pinned every month for all 9 months that we meet, we have a special pin for that, and that's called the Faithful Sailor's Pin. And I'm just excited to report that we've got 11 sailors this year that qualify for the pin. So isn't that great? At this time, I'm going to have our helpers come onto the platform, and we're going to announce and pin our faithful sailors. All right. Sailors, when I call your name, if you'll just come get your pin. We have two classes. We have a primaries class and a juniors class. So we'll start with the primaries class. First, we have Chaya Alexander. And then we have Naomi Coleman. Isaac Henson. I don't think Isaac's here this morning. And then Raylan McCoy. Let's give these folks a round of applause. All right. And then for the juniors class, we have, first is Eli Alexander. Next is David Baer. And then next is Jubilee Coleman. And then Titus Coleman. Perry Marie Crabtree. Olivia Treddy. And Deborah Wimmy. Let's give these folks a round of applause. All right. We have that award, and then we have one other. And this other award is for all of our faithful sailors. And this one is called the Super Sailor Award. This award's voted on by the teachers. And it's given to one boy and one girl from our group of faithful sailors. And at this time, I want to announce those winners. It seems every year, it's always close for those boys and girls. So for the girls, the Super Sailor this year award goes to Perry Marie Crabtree. And then for the boys, the Super Sailor Award goes to Titus Coleman. All right. Great job, guys. I just want to say thank you just to all the parents just for being faithful, bringing your kids, and just being part of Hatch Club. It's been an honor, and it's really great. Thank you for that. All right, it is time for children's worship, so I'm going to dismiss the kids. Come on down to the steps. If there's other children out there for children's worship, come on up.
Well, we have Patch the Pirate Club, and this year, just a few weeks ago, Patch the Pirate went home to be with the Lord. I don't know if you know that story, boys and girls, but when he was a young man, he found out he had cancer in his eye, and so he lost his eye and had to wear a patch. And that turned into Patch the Pirate Club and all the music that he's written and all the stories and the recordings and all those things that have blessed so many. And Ron Hamilton is his name. Wonderful, really wonderful man of God. And, in his life, you'd think everything was easy, but over his lifetime, he had a lot of very difficult times. Even to the very end, it was very difficult, and yet, stayed true to the Lord and to the truth. And, we enjoy the blessing of his faithfulness to the Lord, and, express gratitude. For people that, even when difficult things in their life, people that that believe God by faith and are true to God and what God does in our lives. And I'm so grateful for that and for his memory. Okay? Well, we had a very young girl brought this to us today. So let's see what's inside. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is sort of weird, to be honest with you. Okay, here's what we have. There's no way they're going to be able to see it. But look here. What do we have here, kids? Can you see what that is? Okay, I'm going to ask you what it is here. Take a look. Okay, what's this right here? What is it? Shout it out. It's a duck. We got, what's this? That's a baby. Can I do anything with a duck and a baby? Maybe I can do something with the duck. I don't know about a baby. Maybe I can do something with a baby. Maybe not a duck. Do you think that maybe we can do something with both a duck and a baby? How many of you kids think we can? I was hoping you'd be like, no way, and I was going to choose one or the other.
But you seem a little more confident than I am about that I can do something with both of these. Let's see here. A duck and a baby. Okay. Let's see. How are these the same and how are they different? Well, there's a lot of ways. A duck has feathers. Do babies have feathers? No, babies have skin and hair. Do ducks have feet? Do babies have feet? Are babies' feet like ducks' feet? No, ducks' feet are made with webs and then they can swim. Babies' feet are made with toes. And whatever they do, they walk in a different way. They don't swim in the same way, I guess. So you've got that. Let's see here. A duck, did God make all the animals? Yeah, so God, did that mean God made ducks? That kind and all kinds of, right? So God made that. Did God create people? Yeah. So they're both created by God, but are ducks in God's sight the same as people? No. God made them both, but when God made people, he made people different. What makes a people different than ducks? What do you think? You don't know? That's a hard one, isn't it? That's a hard one.
People can talk.
Well, they can talk. There's no doubt. Any of you talk to a duck?
No.
If you had, that would be a great conversation to have after church. What do you think, ma'am?
People are made in God's image.
Oh, yes. People are made in God's image. How many kids thought about that one? That's what makes these creatures different than these creatures. When I was in school years and years and years and years and years ago, I was taught, and I didn't even understand what I was being taught at the time. I was taught that all of us are animals and that the ducks were animals and the people were animals. We're all just different kinds of animals. And okay, it made sense to me. We're all just animals. Humans are a little more advanced than ducks. We're all just animals. And so I accepted that as true. Now, when I was a kid, I went to a church a lot like this church. And I never really thought about what I learned at school, that we're all just animals, what I learned at church, that God made. I never even thought there was anything different. You know, God made us all animals. But then as I grew older and I began to learn some things, I realized, wait a minute, we're not just all animals. There's something different about me and about all of you and all of you. And I realized that what I was being told was that really that you're just an, I didn't know it. Because in my school, they talked about evolution, that we're just created and everybody just gets better and better and better. And some animals are better than others and some get further advanced. And I just sort of thought that's the way it was. But I also accepted, but I didn't put it all together. And so I was, when I realized, wait a minute, there's something different about me. And then I learned from the Bible what makes me different and you different than the ducks. You are created in God's image. There's something special about you. My goodness. Did you know that you are very special in God's sight? And if you ever go to a school like I went to, or if you just listen, all you have to do is pay attention to anything you watch in the news or online or whatever, and someone says, you know, you're just an animal. No, you're not just an animal. You're created in God's image. You are created to live somewhere forever. When your duck passes on, I don't know if your duck goes to heaven. When we get there, I'll find out. But I do know this, that people, every one of us is created to live somewhere forever. There's only two places the Bible describes because we're made in the image of God. Jesus loves everything and everybody, but Jesus gave his life for people so they could live with him forever. Makes you unique. There's a lot of confusion about this and the world in which we live. And the Bible tells us that when God made Adam and Eve, he made them male and female. In the image of God made he them. And each one made in the image of God in a very specific gender or sex. That's God's choice for that individual. And sometimes you'll hear about that and it's being foisted upon us. Oh, it's just something that people decide what they are. No, God decides what we are because we're made in His image. And I hope you will think of it the way God thinks of it. And I hope you will think about yourself the way God thinks about you. God thinks of you as someone precious, so precious that He would die for you. God thinks of you as someone that He loves, even though we don't deserve it, He loves us. God thinks about you as someone that He's created for an eternal purpose. And everything He does in your life, He allows in your life, He's working in your life for His eternal purposes to be done. He's created you to be an ambassador, a representative of Him. He's created you to be a light to people to know His dark in the darkness. He's created you for His glory. That is so that through your life people can see what He is like. You are a very special individual, and I hope you'll see yourself the way God sees you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you'll come to Him as your Savior. All right? Okay? Someone say quack, quack. Oh, come on. You got it. Someone say quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
All right. Aren't you glad you don't quack?
Quack.
You're not a duck. You're a people. And God loves you. Okay? All right. I'm going to hold on to this. And Abigail, you can bring your toys. Come pick them up anytime you want. Okay? All right. Very good. Let me give this box away to somebody. Who's going to get this box today? Let's see here. Here's a super saver. Let's give it to that young man. Thank you very much. All right, boys and girls, you can go back to your seats at this time.
Isaac Watts, in the song we're going to sing in a moment, expresses great sense of sorrow and of guilt when he talks of Christ and what He's done. Asks, did He die for me? Was He punished for me? Verse 2 asks, was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. And yet you come to the chorus and He's triumphant. Talks about the burden of His heart being rolled away. Talking about receiving His sight and now having the joy of knowing His sin is forgiven. What a wonderful thing Christ has done for us at the cross. Would you stand with me as we sing this morning, 188, At the Cross.
Missionary highlights. Today we're going to be discussing the ministries of Olivia Devakar and Clinton Rita Vernoy. Olivia Devakar writes that she's grateful that a politician in their local area who had been instigating atrocities against the church and making it difficult for Christians to practice their ministries, has decided not to run for re-election in the upcoming elections. Also, she's grateful that they have several students who've decided to come to their Bible studies that she's having there. And she's grateful that Pastor Bud Grinstead came from the U.S. to visit them and help them with their ministry there. Clint and Rita Vernoy are in Paraguay, and right now they're working to turn the church over to local Christians there to take over the nationals, to take over the ministry. They're also finalizing paperwork to build new Sunday school classrooms. So their church seems to be growing. It's doing very well, and they're grateful for that. All right, let's pray for these praises. Dear Father, thank you for the ministries of these people who represent our church in foreign lands. I pray, God, that you continue to bless our ministries, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that you've worked in India to cause that politician to stop exerting negative influence on the local area there. God, we're also grateful for the young people that you brought to the Bible studies, and that Pastor Grinstead was able to be a blessing to Miss Devakar's ministry. God, we're also grateful, Lord, that you've blessed the Vernoy's ministry so much, Lord, and they're able to turn it over to the nationals so they can continue the ministry. And Lord, thank you for blessing their Sunday school so much that they're having to expand and increase the size of their buildings to accommodate all the people. Pray, Lord, that you continue to bless these ministries and be with the families there and encourage them and bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're going to recognize all of our graduates today. So if you're a high school or a college graduate, would you please come to the platform? If you're a high school or college grad, come on up. And Pastor Alexander is going to help us, so please come on. We want to recognize our college or our high school grads first, so yeah, come on up, gang. All right. Okay, well, we're going to start with Zachary Bartlett. Where's Zachary? There's Zachary. Well, there's Zachary. And Zachary graduates from home school and very grateful for him. And his plan is to continue working in their family business and imagine that. So it's a great plug for imagine that, too, right? So congratulations, Zachary. And I'll say about all these young people are really active. They do so many different activities. It's amazing. I was telling one of the guys that these young people go to an activity center that then also happens to have a school attached to it. And they're, all of them are very active and grateful for them all. Abigail Coleman, and Abigail graduates from home school, and she's working already and will continue in that. So congratulations, Abigail, and let me give your gadgets back. There you go. There you go. All right. And Kieran Crabtree graduates from home school as well. And he's going to continue in his interest in writing and filmmaking. And then Corey Maddox. Where'd Corey go? There's Corey. Corey graduated from home school yesterday. And he's also been doing dual enrollment. And he's going to continue on at Dalton State. UTC in engineering is his field. And then Sadie Robinson, where'd Sadie go? Sadie graduates from LFO, and she is going to study in the field of psychology as she goes to that next step in her life. Joseph Sutherland graduates from Home Life Academy. There's Joseph. All right, I should look at you all first so I know who all is there, and I don't want to miss anybody. And so Joseph's considering that next step, possibly Chattanooga State. And Chloe Treddy, and she did homeschool and Ridgeland High School. So congratulations to Chloe, and her real interest is photography and film, so she wants to pursue that field. And then Robbie Waller, and Robbie graduated from Ivy Academy He doesn't know what that next step is. He wants to study communications, and he doesn't know if he's going to stay here at UTC or go to Pensacola Christian College. So that's a decision he has yet to make, right? And then Lauren Wigginton, and she graduated from Berean Academy. And Lauren, her plan is to go to school, go to Bob Jones University, and study nursing. So there's that. Now let's talk about our college grads. And Amy Potter, she graduated from Chattanooga State with her associate's degree in nursing. And then her plan is to continue on at UTC working on her toward her Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. Very good. And Hannah Wemme. Hannah graduated from Pensacola Christian College with a degree in elementary education. And we need to pray for her. She needs to know that next step and where she wants to teach and where the, really more importantly, where the Lord wants her to teach. So I know you'll pray with her is on that. All right. Well, I think about all of our folks when they graduate and these young people, and I think about just how the Lord directs in their lives, and to think about life ahead. And I thought about them, these young people, as I've been to many of their graduations and talked to them and all that, and just thinking about their lives. And I wonder what steps the Lord will direct their lives to. And we all want the very best. How many of you know that when you have God's best, you have the very best? By faith in our God, and I know it is our prayer and desire for these young people that God would help them and work in their lives. Now, Amy, she's a young person. She has been working really at this really hard, and it's quite a wonderful accomplishment for her in a wonderful way and a different way. And she has more to go. But boy, what a tremendous amount of effort they've put in. So let's give all of them a round of applause. And Pastor Alexander, I'm going to ask you to pray the blessing of the Lord upon all of our graduates.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amount of work that is represented by these graduates, both from high school and from college. Lord, we thank you for the many hours that they have put in, for those who have helped them and encouraged them along the way. Lord, be sure we know that their families are so proud of them for the work they have done, and we are as well. Lord, ultimately we look to you as the giver of strength. And Lord, for all that is good that is done, we give you praise and we give you glory. We pray for these graduates that they would continue to look to you for that strength, for the guidance that they need, Lord, that their lives would bring glory to you. We praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We will sing one more time together this morning. In a moment, after we sing as a congregation, the young ladies group is going to come and sing to us. And the phrase you'll hear repeated in that song is, I belong to the King. I belong to the Lord. I am not my own. And that is an expression of submission to say, I'm not in charge. I don't get to make all of the decisions. And how does that tie into the song we're going to sing now? Well, the tie is this, as we ask God the Spirit to move among us, it says here, the words of the song say, fall fresh on me. It says, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. And that is the key. This is not just some magical, mystical thing. God the Spirit works in our heart, controlling us as we obey, as we listen, as we yield, as we humble ourselves before Him. We know then His power, His filling, He can use us. And so that same thread of submission that the girls will sing about in a moment, let's sing as well as we ask God to do a work in our lives that only He can do as we submit to Him. We'll stand, and then our young people, ages 3, 4, and 5, can be dismissed to children's worship as we sing together this morning, 247, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. seated.
Goodbye. You know the goodbye is coming, but you sort of dread it. It just takes a while. You want to prepare yourself for it. I asked earlier in the service if you know what that's like to say goodbye, and you have to get ready for it. And for some of you, your face just made it very clear that there's a memory that came to your mind right away, and it just really connected with you. And I think all of us know what it's like to know this goodbye is coming, and we prepare ourselves for it. Well, would you turn with me into the book of Joshua chapter 24, because we read about Joshua who's getting ready to say goodbye. Joshua chapter 24, we're in a series on the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Joshua has led the people of Israel now into their venture of faith in claiming the promised land for 25 years. Prior to that, for just shy of 40 years, he was Moses' assistant. And they wandered the wilderness together as he watched Moses lead. God had prepared him for the time when he would lead. Now for 25 years, he's been the leader, and he's coming to the end of his journey, and he's preparing the people for the journey ahead. In chapters 23 and 24 of the book, there are two speeches. The one in chapter 23 we looked at together last time when he gave a speech to the leaders and was preparing these ones who, when he would go, who would take the leadership of their nation and the responsibility of leading their nation. And he challenged their leaders. And for all of us, we realize that there are truths for every generation, no matter who you are, no matter what your generation, that God still speaks today to each of us in our generation. And then in chapter 24, he speaks to all the people. And where you've turned in your Bible, would you notice with me verse 1 of Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of the children to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. They come to a place called Shechem. Now, Shechem, if you think of in your mind's eye a picture of the land of Israel, Shechem is about in the middle of the land of Israel. Shechem is in a valley. On the north of it is Mount Ebal. On the south of it is Mount Gerizim. Shechem is in the valley, and Joshua gathers all of these people together. This is a very important place, the city of Shechem. Centuries before, when God spoke to Abraham and called him as an idolater and called him to know the true God, and through Abraham and his descendants, God would reveal the true God to all the world. He said, I'm going to send you to a land. And Abraham left his hometown, Ur of the Chaldees, didn't know where he's going. And the Lord just said, just follow me. When you get there, I'll let you know. He comes to a place called Shechem. We know it now. It's called in our Bibles translated there, Sychem. It's the same place. And there, Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, there, at that place, God said, okay, Abraham, this is the land. And all of this is for you and for your descendants. What a wonderful place. One of the patriarchs, Jacob, built a very important monument at this very place. Remember, Jacob was a man that lived his own life and did his own thing. He didn't really follow the God of his fathers, the true God. And finally, God broke him of his self-will, and he turned to the Lord. And he came to this place, and he made there a monument. And he gave this monument a name. It's El Elohei Israel. And it means God, the God of Israel. That's the name that God gave Jacob. Changed his name from Jacob to Israel. That God is my God. What a significant place in the history of the people of Israel. 25 years before Joshua gathers them on this day, 25 years before, the same generation gathered at the same place. You read about it in the book of Joshua chapter 8. Moses told them, now when you go into the promised land, I want you to gather all the people to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And there I want you to rehearse the scriptures and read the law of God. And I want you to reaffirm that you will serve the Lord God. So 25 years before, this very generation went to this very place. They read the law of God to all the people. They wrote the law of God. They reaffirmed their commitment to God. And now Joshua is at the very end of his life. It's not quite time, but it won't be long. And he's going to go to the other side. And for the last time, he gathers all the people together to this place. And as he gathers them together, he prepares them for the future ahead. He's getting ready to say goodbye. Now, as he begins his speech, and maybe it's not as much a speech, maybe we ought to call it a sermon. As he begins his sermon or his speech, he reminds the people that are listening and reminds all of us, even as we read it, to take a look back. Take a walk down memory lane and look back at the things in your life. And he takes them on this walk and begins in verse 2 of chapter 24. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And gave unto Isaac Jacob, and Jacob and Esau, and gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. And Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. He looks back and he says, you know, God was gracious in his sovereignty of all the people in the earth. God chose out one man. He was an idolater, Abraham. And Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to reveal the world to reveal myself to the world through you and through your descendants and your family. Now, Moses reminded us of this time in Deuteronomy chapter 7. You don't need to turn there, but I'll turn in my Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And Moses reminds the people of Israel of these words. I'll start reading in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 7. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than all than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You're a people that God, not because you deserved it, but because God, just because he's God, loved you. You know that God loves you. You don't deserve it. Just look around. Look around. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But God, because he's God, loves you. In fact, God, because he's God, Ephesians chapter 1 reminds us of this, that before the foundation of the world, God was working in so that individuals could be known and know the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? That the eternal God, before this world was ever created, the eternal God had you on his mind, and he created a way by which you could come to Jesus Christ and know the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to God. God had you on his mind, and any individual that puts their trust in Jesus Christ, turning from his or her own way, and by faith receives Christ and the forgiveness of sins, they are elect, chosen, because God is so in eternity past work. There's not one of us in all this congregation, there is not one of us that God has not prepared a way for you to know the forgiveness of sins. Wow. So Jesus told even his disciples, you have not chosen me, this is John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. There are 15 times in the book of Joshua that a specific title for God is used. 15 times God is called in the book of Joshua, the Lord God of Israel. So that God takes Lord, his personal name, that name with all uppercase letters, Jehovah, Yahweh, some would say, and he takes his personal name and he associates his personal name, the Lord, with God. That's his powerful name. And he says, I want you to know that I look at you and I see you as my very special possession. I am your God and you are my people. And you are not just a special possession to me. My power can work in you. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, you now are related to our God and he gives you his name. Aren't you glad you don't have to have your identity wrapped up in the bad things that happened to your life? Aren't you glad you don't have to have your identity wrapped up in who you are and your accomplishment? But you can know the freedom of having an identity wrapped up in God's view of me, in my relationship with Jesus Christ. In Him I'm beloved. In Him I'm forgiven. In Him I am a child of the King. In Him I am an heir of an eternal promise. In Him I am complete. In Him His power is always enough. Wow. What a God. And so Joshua preaches the sermon and he looks back and he reminds the people of the graciousness of God's sovereignty. Then he looks back and he reminds the people and helps them to remember the power of his deliverance. Would you go with me again or stay where we are in Joshua 24 verse 5? When the Bible says, I sent Moses and also Aaron and plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out and brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came to the sea, and to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen, and with their under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. The power of God to deliver. He looked back what God did in the Exodus. But after God brought the people out of Egypt and He brought them into the wilderness on their way to the promised land, remember, they made a really bad decision. How many of you have ever made a bad decision? Don't raise your hand. We all know. Made a really bad decision. In our study of Joshua, we've come to this place many times because it shaped the generation that Joshua was leading. And they made a very bad decision at Kadesh Barnea. And rather than believe God and go into the land, they were rebellious and fearful. And they chose not to believe God. And God brought upon them punishment, judgment. And they wandered in the wilderness for all those years. But I want you to notice, keep reading with me in verse 7. What Joshua tells them about that time. And ye dwell in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you and gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. Oh, he reminds them of the mercy of God and his patience. Oh, these people wandering, they had their highlights and they had their lowlights. They had their ups and their downs. They had their victories. They had their defeats. Yet in the midst of it, God was always faithful to them. When they didn't deserve it, yet God was faithful. And he looks back and he says, I want you to remember something else. I want you to remember the faithfulness of God to his promises. We read about them now in verse 11. And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. You remember back when we had that fight? Your generation fought this battle. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand, and I set the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. There's a question. Are these hornets bugs? Well, they could be bugs. I don't know what you'd call a bunch of hornets, a host of hornets, a horde of hornets. It could have been that God sent hornets. There are a couple of times in the scriptures when armies are described like bees. Some would even say that these hornets could be just the fear that God put upon the people. Remember, Moses said this would happen, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25. When you go to that land, they're going to be so afraid because they knew what I did in Egypt to the great armies of Egypt. And here you are, all of you on the way. And they're going to be so afraid, some of them will just flee from before you. And that's really what happened. Remember when we met Rahab in the city of Jericho, and when the spies went in the city of Jericho and they're checking everything out, and she says, oh, we are scared to death. We are shaking in our sandals because we're afraid. Could be that. Whichever way, God drove out those nations. He was faithful to every promise that He had made. Now, why would God have Joshua, as Joshua preaches this sermon to prepare that the people to go forward in their lives, why would He talk about the past? I mean, the past is past. Well, He talks about the past because He wanted to encourage them and remind them about how great God is. And you think of it this way. If you can remember the graciousness of God and the power of God and the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God, when God calls you to go forward, when He calls you to go forward, there are things that are unknown. But you do know this. God is gracious and merciful and powerful and faithful. There are things that I'm unsure about. Yeah, we're all unsure in life, but we can go forward because our God is merciful and faithful and gracious and powerful. But I'm so excited about what's before me, and I hope you are excited about what's before you. But as you're excited about what's before you, just remember this, that as you go into what's before you, you have a God that's gracious and powerful and faithful and merciful, and He is working on your behalf. And when you look back and you reflect upon who God is, now as you look forward, it gives you such hope and confidence as you go to the future. You might find yourself at a place in your life and you say, I'm not sure what the future holds. Really uneasy. Really uneasy. You may even know that the days ahead of you, unless something changes, the chances are you're going to have some real battles and challenges ahead in your life. And you may even feel like, oh Lord, I don't know. And you're even fearful of it. But friend, you don't need to be fearful. Because God, who has been faithful and true and merciful and powerful and gracious in the past, is the God who will be with you into that future. So he looks back, takes a walk down memory lane. And then Joshua turns his attention to the future. And he looks ahead. Beginning in verse 14 through verse 28, we look ahead. And you'll see how all of this turns in verse 14 of chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord. He says, okay, the past is in the past. Your future begins now. Well, you've heard this expression probably 1,000 times, that today is the first day of the rest of your life. How many of you heard that one? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's true. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And Joshua looks at this great congregation. It's been estimated 1.5 to 3 million people. And imagine he's in the valley and he's looking up with people everywhere on the slopes ascending up onto the mountain. And he looks to the right or to his left and he sees the people, all these children and all these adults of all ages up there to his right or to his left. And then he looks on the other mountain and he sees all these people. And he looks at them. And he says, there are some things that we all need to know to go ahead. He knows that it won't be long and he won't see them again. He knows it won't be long. His leadership will be done. And these individuals will carry on the testimony of God in their generation. And so he begins looking to the future by giving them a great challenge. And you know, this is a great challenge for each of us. As we go into the future, we read about it in verse 14 and then verse 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The great challenge, you'll find it in verse 14, to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You really don't have true knowledge until you begin to understand and have a reverential respect and love and awe for who God is. How many of you love living in a day and time in which we enjoy the blessings of electricity? Who loves the blessings of electricity? Yes, absolutely. Electricity is such a blessing, but I'll tell you what, you also better be careful. I remember when I was a boy, my father, as you know, was a carpenter at the steel plant, Timken Company. He was a carpenter, and then we had a business on the side. We worked in nights, we worked on Saturdays, went to church on Sunday. And so we did roofing, we put vinyl siding on houses, and other construction work. But I remember one day, it was a cloudy day. It was in an older section of downtown Canton, Ohio, where Vicki and I are from, Canton, Ohio. And if you've been in one of those northern cities, you might be able to picture this in your mind's eye. The houses all have two stories, and they're fairly close one to another, and fairly close to the street. And we were on a corner lot. I could take you there. If you went with me to Canton, I could take you to this very house. Assuming it's still standing. I'm assuming it's still standing. And there's a guy that worked with us named Bobby Bontrager. Bobby, I would guess at this time, was maybe 20, early 20s, maybe late teens. But he went to school. I think he was going to college, and then he worked with us as well. And we were putting vinyl siding on this house. And it was on the side of the house. It was a corner lot. And when you put vinyl siding, you have a strip that you put on the very bottom, and then you take your piece of vinyl and we would make it click, and you push it up into the strip and it would grab, and then it would hold, and you keep building one piece on the other. So you come to the meter that is attached to the house. You're always careful at the meter, and what you have to do is you have to unscrew the meter, and someone holds the meter back. And then you put the vinyl, or you cut around it, and you get all this, and you make the cuts, and you have everything ready, and then you pull the meter back, and then you slide the piece up, and you hear it click. And when it clicks, then you put the meter back. You put this meter on. Well, on this day, it was a fall day. It was a gray day in Canton, Ohio. And I don't know what happened, but Bobby Bontrager, something happened. And that thing, a puff of smoke, and a flame shoots out of that meter, and it knocks him off his feet. He rolls down the hill about 4 or 5 foot embankment to the sidewalk below. And boy, I learned something about electricity. Electricity has blessings. Oh, we enjoy it. But you better show reverence to electricity, because it's powerful. To be enjoyed and love all the benefits of it, but you better fear electricity, because it's powerful. And oh, God is a great God to be loved. He's a God to be enjoyed. The blessings of knowing Him, there's nothing greater, but I'm going to tell you, He is a God that must be reverenced. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is a God of justice and of wrath. He is, Hebrews chapter 3:18, our God is a consuming fire. I wonder if we take Him way too lightly. So Joshua challenges his people as he says goodbye to fear the Lord, and he reminds his people to serve the Lord again in verse 15. Not just to fear the Lord, but to serve the Lord. And he tells us what it'll mean. You'll see again in verse 14, serve the Lord in sincerity. So that means authentically, no masks, no pretending. Not something that in one place that I'm not in another. It's going to mean for you to become very authentic and honest with yourself and honest with God. If you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to become that honest. Serve Him not just in sincerity, but in truth. Scripturally, the Scriptures are God's record of Himself. It is the foundation of all that we believe. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, to serve the Lord means that I must bring myself in submission to and obedience to the Bible. And then serve the Lord separatedly. Now, if you look that up in your dictionary app, you're going to have a hard time. You won't find that form. And some of y'all, you graduates, aren't you glad you're done? You're glad you're done? Yeah, we're glad we're done. You kids that haven't graduated yet, make sure that you don't use that in one of your papers or anything, because you'll get marked off for it. It's a word I just made up. But he reminds them of this in verse 14. That you need to put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. There are gods, false gods to be put away. There are things to be put away. I have a question for you. Do you think it's easy to follow the values and the things of the world and to allow the values and the thinking and the things of our world to become an idol? You worship and you'll sacrifice for. John the Apostle put it this way, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Literally, stop loving the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you're going to serve the Lord, there are some things in your life, I'm going to tell you, if you want to please God, you're going to have to know that there are some things that need to be put away. You might even have some idols in your own heart, in your own life, that you have placed above God in your priority list, in your value list. And what the Holy Spirit of God is doing today is He's reminding you and revealing to you that there are some idols you need to be willing to put aside and serve the Lord. So Joshua continues his challenge, and this great challenge takes us into the future. But he brings each of the individuals to a great choice. The people as a nation have to decide, what are we going to do? And you hear about the choice in verse 15. We read it once, I'll read it again, when the Bible tells us this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the choice that's before you. Whom will you serve? And Joshua says, listen, I made a choice for myself and for my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, what are you going to do? One day, a group of teammates, professional baseball players, were in a bar. And they were drinking, drunk. They came out of their bar, or the bar, and there was a group of young people. They were singing, they were playing instruments, and they were giving testimonies about what Jesus Christ had done in their lives. One of the ball players, his name Billy, remembered back in his childhood. He remembered his mother who prayed for him. He remembered the faith from which he walked away. And the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of him, and he said these words to his teammates. He said, boys, I'm through. I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ. We've come to the parting of the ways. Some of his buddies mocked him, laughed at him, and jeered him. But he leaves that place and he goes with these instrumentalists and these folks who are testifying. And he goes to Pacific Garden Mission, and there he gets saved. The next day he goes to ball practice, and his manager's name is Mike Kelly, greeted him and said, Billy, I read in the paper what occurred yesterday. Religion isn't my long suit, but I won't knock you, and I'll knock the daylights out of anyone who does. Billy went on to become a preacher, a renowned evangelist in his generation. His name was Billy Sunday. But it all started when he made a choice. You know, for you, things in your life begin to change when you start with a choice. It's a great challenge. Joshua preaches to his people about a great choice. And when the people are faced with this choice, watch their response. Look at your Bible, verse 16. Verse 16 of Joshua 24. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought our fathers out of the land of Egypt. And they're thinking as we say, look back, look what God did. We were redeemed from bondage. And then they reflect again, keep going, verse 17. And He brought us from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among the people through whom we passed. Even when we were rebellious, God preserved us in the wilderness. And now they come to their generation, what they had seen God do in their lifetime. Verse 18, they say, the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. And they come to this conclusion. They calculated all that God did in the past and what they had seen God do in their lives. And they came to this conclusion in verse 18. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Oh yes, God is God, whether He's ours or not. But we're making a choice that this is the personal responsibility that they take. I'll put it this way, the power of personal ownership, that He is our God. The Apostle Paul reflects on this very truth in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read to you what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read verse 14 and then verse 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So what, or for whom are you living? A great choice. Well then, on this day, Joshua gives the people a great caution, and in a unique way he uses a negative expression as a warning. Look in your Bible, verse 19 of Joshua 24, and then we'll read verse 20 as well. When the Bible tells us this, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. There are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be valleys and mountaintops. There will be victory. There will be spiritual attack. But remember that this is something serious, and you need to know what you're getting into, because God is still a God that brings about correction. We learned already, and we said it together, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, corrects. And even if it means something so severe, the Bible uses this expression, He scourges. Even if you won't listen and won't listen and won't listen, out of love, He'll do the hard right thing for you. Not to hurt you, but for your good. And then Joshua calls the people to a great commitment. We read about it beginning in verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And then they make a marker to remind them of the day that they made this choice. Look in your Bible. I'll start reading in verse 22, and then we'll read through verse 28. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you. Already their hearts have been turning from the Lord, even now. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. It was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness between us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his own inheritance. You know, this is the ninth type of memorial that you find in the book of Joshua. All throughout the history of the people in the time of Joshua, they made memorials. Oh, they went across the Red Sea. They made a pile of stones in the middle of the Red Sea. And they had one on the western shore of the Red Sea. Jordan River. The western shore of the Jordan River. To remind them of what God did for them. They, in the Valley of Achor, they made a memorial. In the Mount Ebal, they made a memorial. And they made a memorial of the law on Mount Ebal. And they had stones at Cave Makeda, and they had the altar that almost created a real problem. Remember, we learned about the altar that was built on the tribes that are on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And now they come to the ninth memorial. So whenever they pass by and they see this stone set up, they remember, this is the day. This is the day. We promised the Lord that we would serve Him. This is the day before Joshua left us. And we knew that it was our generation's turn to go forward. That we decided this is the day that we're going to serve the Lord. In your life, if you might even look back to the time when you, if you've not yet come to Christ, when you came to Jesus and were saved, do you remember that? Do you remember that day? And in your mind's eye, it's a memorial when you put your trust in Christ. Maybe you haven't come to Jesus Christ yet. And what's happening is that God has already been dealing with your heart. There's something going on. You can't even explain it maybe, but this is God, and He's speaking to you about your need for the forgiveness of sins and to be saved through Jesus Christ alone. God the Son who died and rose again for you. And He's so working in your life. And today, if you'll turn from your way and put your trust in Christ alone, this day is your day. It's your memorial. And as you walk with God, maybe you've experienced this. I know you've experienced this. And you look back at your life and you look at times when you made decisions and you said, "Okay, I'm going to serve the Lord here." And God was working in your life. You made important decisions. And each of those in your memory becomes a memorial. And today can be that day for you. This is the day that I say, "Okay, Lord, I am choosing to serve You." Decision to make today. William Borden was heir to the Derry estate, the Borden Derry estate. In 1904, he graduated from high school. Now, he experienced something I guess most of you probably haven't. Maybe you have, I don't know. But the day he graduated from high school, he was a millionaire. How many of you would like to try that on? A millionaire the day he graduated from high school. Can you imagine such a thing? His parents, for his high school graduation, gave him a trip around the world. Your parents gave you a trip to Lake Winnie. And if your parents really have it going, they sent you to Dollywood. He travels around Europe. He travels into the Middle East. He travels to China. He travels all the way around the world. He writes his parents a letter back home because his heart was so burdened by God for the world's hurting people. He wrote these words to his parents, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." When he made the decision, he wrote in the back of his Bible these words, two words, "No reserves." He goes to Yale College, or Yale University, I should say. And he finishes his course of study at Yale. And after he graduates from Yale, he writes in the back of his Bible, under the words, "No reserves," he writes these words, "No retreats." He goes to Princeton Seminary, completes his seminary degree. He goes on his way to China. But on his way to China, he was going to stop in Egypt, was going to do some further study in preparation for his life in China. And while he was in Egypt, he was struck with cerebral meningitis. He dies within a month of arriving in Egypt. You'd say, what a waste. No, not a waste. Not in God's plan. He had written these words in his Bible underneath the words, "No reserves and no retreats." He had written these words at the end of his life when he knew that he would not make it beyond this time. He wrote these words, "No regrets." No reserves, no retreats. I can't imagine something more powerful than living without regrets. Oh, we have regrets. But if you'll choose to serve the Lord God, my friend, there will be in time and in eternity no regrets. Would you stand with me, please? It's been a very full service today, hasn't it? Wonderful. But we will not leave without giving you a chance to do business with the Almighty Eternal God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if God has been speaking to you. You need to come to Christ and be saved. Listen, you'll not regret coming to Christ. No regrets. From right where you are, the quietness of this moment, you can call out to the Lord, oh, not audibly, but in your heart, oh, He hears, and He's been dealing and speaking to you, but this is the day you say, okay, Lord, I'm asking you to save my soul. I am putting my trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a saved person that God has dealt with your heart and you've come to Christ, but He is so speaking, the Holy Spirit is so speaking, that it's time for you to say, okay, Lord, no reserves, no retreats. And this is the day you're making a very significant, impactful decision. In a moment, I'll pray and then we'll give you a chance to respond. But we will not tarry long. But if you say, I just put my trust in Christ in the quietness of this moment, and maybe you have some questions or some people, I'd like to talk to somebody that can answer some questions I have. We'll give you a chance in a moment to respond. Our instrumentalists will play and then we'll give you that chance to respond. It may be that you, as a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, that God is speaking to you, and we want to give you a chance to respond to Him while His voice is speaking. And so, God, the Holy Spirit, we come to You and we put ourselves before You on this altar. And we ask, oh God, that You would be honored in our lives. And so I ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. The instrumentalists are playing. You say, this is, I came to Christ. That's great. You gotta, we'll rejoice with you. Let's say, well, folks, just praise the Lord with you. And someone's here. You say, I have things I'd like to pray about. I have things that are on my heart, my mind, decisions to make. We have people available to serve and help you as you go forward in your life.
A reminder of looking to what God has done in the past and seeing what He will do, trusting Him as we go into the future. I want to encourage you to look at your bulletin. There are several things that will be happening there. I'll just mention them briefly. We have Vacation Bible School and our Capture the Flag coming up, and you can pick up invitations for those, both of those outreach opportunities. We do have a church picnic next Sunday in the afternoon and evening. You'll want to sign up for that in the foyers as you go out. Mentioned already the business meeting, so you'll want to know about that. And then Wednesday is our final meeting night for both Patch Clubs and for the teens. And then tonight, following the evening service, there will be a meeting for the teens and their families in the fellowship hall, and you'll want to be prepared for that. One more thing that's not in your bulletin. I don't want to say anything too specific, but there is a pastoral staff couple that has their 35th anniversary today. And I'm only 35, so you can do the math and figure out. Thought you all wanted to know about that. We will close our service this morning by singing the chorus, "Be Strong in the Lord."
Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for He is your God. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours.
Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on Him in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again, thank you for joining us. I'll look forward to hearing from you soon.